The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Good morning once again. Welcome back to Analyze This. And before I do the programming notes, in talking about Midwest, right? The Midwest, I get text messages left and right, right? First of all, Gwen Molina, good morning. And thanks for listening. Thanks for being one of my radio show mentors and all that stuff. She said, I got my doctorate at IU Bloomington.
Oh.
Some of the best years of my life. Beautiful campus, great academics. The town existed for the university.
Yes.
The Big Ten culture was really fabulous in those days. You know what I'm saying? And then A-Ducks, Wallace Williams, chime in and he said the cover photo of Life magazine that of one of the students shot by the National Guard. The fellow student helping the victim is a childhood friend of mine from Louisville named Mike White. Man, it's a small world, man. Wow, man. So here we are in the Virgin Islands, right, on a local show talking about the heartland, because that's what that area is, right? John Cougar Mellon Camp and all that stuff, right? And Indiana, and he likes to brag about that, and we have so much connectivity. You know Donald Bow, right? Donald Bow, grandmother. Blanche Emmanuel is my name, right? Yeah. Sambo, right?
Yeah, Sambo,
when I was looking up, and I found that they got roots in Indiana as well. You know what I'm saying? Wow. So I called Bo and I said, yo, what going on? And then, and it goes to show people movement were happening, been happening. As a matter of fact, Malcolm X is another perfect example, right? Uh-huh. Born in Omaha, Nebraska.
Right.
Nicknamed Detroit Red because the family had moved to Detroit, right, to get away from the segregation and the racism. But he mother born in Grenada.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's what he did. Programming notes for tonight, PBS News Hour at 7 p.m. American Experience, right? And this is a two-hour edition, right? Meet a scientist whose groundbreaking writings revolutionize our relationship to the natural world. So that goes from 8 to 10 p.m. Then at 10 p.m., Nature... discover surprising facts about the sharks that call the warm waters near Hawaii's islands their home. And then Nova at 11, explore promising new electric planes on the horizon and take a ride in some impressive prototypes. And that goes till midnight. And of course, I'm an important company, which is now at midnight because time turned back in November, but they're going to turn forward this Saturday night, Sunday morning. So we're going to be, and I forget to ask Tom about why Indiana don't turn back the clock, right? Because they don't leave it like it is. So the news hour at 7, two-hour edition American Experience at 8, Nature at 10, Nova at 11, I'm an important company at midnight. So gentlemen, yesterday was Super Tuesday. And of course, you know, that pretty much tells us who are going to be the nominees in the Republican and Democratic Party. Of course, we had a good feel for that based on the results of about the first five or six primaries, beginning with Iowa and then on to New Hampshire. And Doc, let me start with you. Good morning once again. The outcomes are pretty much to form. Donald Trump dominating on the red side and Joe Biden dominating on the blue side. There were a couple of things that stood out on both sides. First of all, let's talk about New Hampshire, where Nikki Haley finally won a state.
Vermont.
She had won the District of Columbia over the weekend, right? But she hadn't won a state. She wins Vermont in a nail biter. Right, 49.9% to 45.9%. Outside of that, the only other state where she got to 40% was in Utah, which is Mormon company. But she lost that state 58.2 to 40.7. Why do you believe that as the option to the favorite, right, to the strong favorite, she didn't get as much traction as she probably could have, or what normally happens when at least there's another option on the ballot on the Republican side. Is this now full confirmation that the Republican Party is no more the conservative party? It is the MAGA party? Doug School?
Neville, absolutely. It is the MAGA party, and the MAGA king is weaving his magic wand, you know? For me, the takeaway from Super Tuesday and what's happening is to see where a party that is built, was supposed to be built on law and order, patriotism, economic values and tradition, nominating an adjudicated sexual offender, nominating someone who is indicted, nominating a two-time impeached individual, tells me where we are in America and American politics. And Trump carries the label "Make America Great Again." That aspect of American life still permeates the American culture of "Make America Great Again," where the confirmation of, and I'll say it, white supremacy, where that aspect of American life on which the foundation of America was built is what they want to see continue, where the higher echelon individuals in America continue to control the economics and of the country, the jobs and everything. And that is basically what it is. It is startling to see, you know, how the country is polarized to that aspect. And how do we get into that? Because that is what is going forward, and that is what is percolating, and Donald Trump found that out, and that's what he's going to do. They rule unfair, Neville.
Well, I want to dovetail on that point you just made to Dwayne. Dwayne, is this also about revenge, where they genuinely believe the 2020 election was stolen from their candidate?
Absolutely. This is the sick thing about this whole thing. This is so much like Hitler when he took over.
He lost the election too, right?
Yes, badly. And when they got the opportunity, they took over the government. They literally took over the government. Remember, they had the putsch, mm-hmm. and there was confusion and chaos. And the prime minister, the chancellor, they called him, mm-hmm. had resigned. And then the president, Hindenburg, mm-hmm. stepped in and appointed Hitler as chancellor, in which he then changed his title to Führer.
The Führer.
Yeah. But you see the same kind of thing. You foment this chaos, you divide the country, and then it gets to the point where you seem like a savior.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what this guy has done, and this is what he's doing and continue to do. I don't know how anybody sees him as a savior, because this is the same guy that's fomenting the thing.
But then let me ask this question. I accept the fact that the country is polarized and has been that way for a long time, and social media and the internet has played a big part in that,
absolutely.
Right? So we can't deny that, right? We got to take some blame, right?
Uh-huh.
But it is also exposing the hypocritical side of a lot of people, right? On both sides of the aisle.
Uh-huh.
In this particular case, and Doc, I want to start with you. The evangelicals like to come with this sanctimonious, holier-than-thou thing all the time, imposing their beliefs and people, telling people how they're supposed to live their life, while at the same time now the person that they are promoting and pushing, I mean, there's a laundry list of things that are diametrically opposite to what evangelicals are all about. Doug School, well, is this really about religion, or is this really about money and power?
It's both, Neville. It's money and power. Because when you want to make America great again, we are saying other people in America, the immigrants who came to America, who built America, started with our ancestors who came over on the slave ships, uh-huh. are gaining too much power. And they got a lot of power through the ballot box, correct? Voting.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to marginalize them and keep them in that area, because you look at the population, Neville, and you're the numbers guy, based on the Caucasians in America versus the black, the brown, and all the other immigrants coming in, the numbers are going up. So to maintain economic control, these guys want to continue that. I saw last night where Elon Musk and Trump meeting today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe that's where he's going to get his money to pay for his bills. And then Musk now controls Starlink and control all this. So these guys are now going to put in place that mechanism to continue to perpetuate those multinational corporations at the top that run America. And then they put the Supreme Court in a conservative Supreme Court, which I call it the most powerful branch in America right now because of the stalemate in the Congress, to legitimize what they're bringing forward. So, and then the religious aspect of it, the nation was founded and quote-unquote religion and keep religion out of state, right?
Separation of religion and state. Yeah.
Separation of religion. But that is what is driving religion, and the most quote-unquote powerful religious group is basically what is driving the politics, the overthrow of Roe, the overturn of Roe, the all these issues, affirmative action that gave those who were behind a jump up. All these issues are being challenged, and they're being challenged, Neville, in my opinion, and based on what I see, to maintain that dominance and don't want anybody else to come in.
Now, let me ask this question before we go to Biden, because Biden is flawed as well. the Republican Party claims that they are the party that promotes smaller government, conservatism, what have you. But one of the concerns that many conservatives have with Donald Trump is that he spends like he's a liberal.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
So that's why you have one of the things that the networks are looking for is how much of a never Trumper vote would Nikki Haley amass. And it appears that with each election, that number keeps coming down.
Uh-huh.
So are they coalescing the Republicans behind Donald Trump?
I think the Republican Party has coalesced behind Donald Trump. Many of them, you know, don't
MAGA
believe...
MAGA Party, not Republican Party, MAGA. Sorry for interrupting.
But many of them, not because they want to actually do it, but because they're scared. These people have been intimidated by the others, and you know, and it's crazy. We were talking about the evangelicals. You know, this country was started by Puritans, mm-hmm. who supposedly was escaping the Church of England.
No. You know something? Ducks mentioned immigrants being the impetus for the Republican Party being so enthusiastic about being a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing something? But
Donald Trump is a first-generation American.
That's what I'm talking about there, right?
Is
there now a distinction between immigrants from America's east?
Yes.
Compared to immigrants from America's south and southwest?
Absolutely, because, you know, they are...
And west.
Yes, you look at the... You know, when you bring up, well, the Statue of Liberty says, give me all these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they seem to forget that that's what the Statue of Liberty says at the feet of her thing.
Yeah.
And France gave that to us because at the time, America was embodying accepted people.
Yes.
And now, they like the docs just said, you know, they get in and they just slam the door behind mm-hmm. them.
Pull the microphone down. Let me check it out.
They got in and they just slammed the door behind them. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to the hypocrisy that you're talking about, you know. It's so blatant, you know, that it's shocking.
On the other side of the docket, and I want to start with you, Dwayne, the question was the uncommitted vote. Mm-hmm. Last week, we saw over 100,000 Michiganders,
right?
About 13% of who turned out,
right,
who participated in the election, vote for uncommitted. And they always told us the two states that the Democrats got to worry about is Michigan and Minnesota,
right?
Because in their eyes, Biden is complicit with the genocide that's taking place in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a concern with that. Mm-hmm. We actually got a greater percentage of uncommitted in Minnesota.
Right.
18.9% mm-hmm. as opposed to the 13% in Michigan. And Biden got 70.6% in the Democratic primary yesterday. Mm-hmm. And Dean Phillips in his home state, he gets 7.8%.
Hey, he's pretty pissed off too.
Yeah. So how big is an issue is this for Biden, number one? And can he fix it? Does he have time to fix it?
If these people I know it's a highly emotional issue.
Mm-hmm.
And if people...
And justifiably so.
Right.
You don't want the public to think that it's not.
Right. It's a highly emotional issue. But you have to sit down and say, okay, you know, now that the United States has been calling for, you know, additional things, they'll be dropping in airbags. So he's doing something to alleviate the suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to give him some kind of credit there. And then, these people, anybody that gets worked up over one issue, whether you're on the conservative side where if you're not anti-abortion and I'm not voting for you,
mm-hmm.
or if you with the squad and those are the pro-Palestinian people that you're going to go ahead and not vote for that person because they're not supporting you. Politics is a lot more than that. You have to sit down sometimes and say, well, you know what? This person pissed me off on this issue. I don't agree with this person on this issue, but I like them on all these other things, you know? And then when you look at the alternative, I mean, I can't believe somebody will, by not voting, allow the alternative to happen.
And apparently, the day before, or the day before or yesterday morning, Donald Trump went on the Mark Levin show. Mark Levin mm-hmm. is a staunch conservative.
Yeah,
and he was asked about the situation in the Middle East. And he said Netanyahu and Israel need to finish the job. Right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
So if those who are upset with how Biden's bungled this matter in the Middle East believe mm-hmm. that across the aisle, there's a better route. It looks like the last day. When we come back, we're going to delve into some of the numbers and some of the percentages so the public will have a feel for how folks voted and the variation between certain parts of the country where it looks like uncommitted ain't really impacting a lot of certain states, but it's impacting the Minnesotas, the Michigans, and other states of the world. We'll be back right after this. Analyze this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Morning Edition takes you across this country and around the world with stories that keep you informed and the context to understand what matters. The news comes at you quickly, but we slow it down to examine each story from different angles and give perspective on what might happen next. A brand new day comes with new possibilities and a new edition of Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
The PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
Back here, I analyze this, and we analyze in Super Tuesday, which is the biggest primary day in the primary election. Of course, 2024 is our presidential election year. I got Dwayne Henry here joining me in the house, and Donald Cole joining me online to provide some analysis, because that's what we do here on analyze this. Good morning, gentlemen. Glad to have you on this morning as well.
Good morning.
You know, Docs, I wanted to hone in on a couple of states and speak about its impact and how they are voting, what have you, right? I want to look at North Carolina, I want to look at Texas, and I want to look at California, right? Of course, the lion's share of delegates and voters, the two biggest states in the union are California and Texas, right? But I want to look at North Carolina. I want to start with North Carolina for this reason. North Carolina looks like that's where a lot of people from the Northeast and maybe in the Midwest are moving to, right? They're not going all the way to Florida anymore.
Right.
Right? They're going to North Carolina, and they're going, and you mentioned the Research Triangle.
Yep.
But they're going to Charlotte as well.
Yep.
Right? Charlotte's a big city.
Big business, yeah.
Right? And one of the issues, and I want to start with you, Dwayne, last night. Well, the first state that they called last night was Virginia. And they're starting to write off Virginia now as not even being a purple state because so many people who live in bordering D.C., what have you, are now living in Northern Virginia, and the numbers there, like Alexandria, Arlington, what have you, the numbers there last night where Nikki Haley got 34.8% in Virginia, right, to Donald Trump, 63.1%. That's on the Republican side.
Right.
On the Democratic side, Biden get 88.7%.
Right.
And the next one was Marianne Williamson at 7.8%. So they started to say, with those two houses in Virginia, they're not going to be as big as they would have been in the past, even though they got Republican governor in Glenn Youngkin. So let me talk about North Carolina. Donald Trump gets 73.9%. Nikki Haley gets 23.3%. On the flip side, Joe Biden gets 87.3%, and no preference is what was on the ballot, and that's 12.7%.
That's the non-committal.
Yeah. But what they're saying, Dwayne, and then Ducks, is that the educated folks who live in the suburban areas and states like North Carolina, they are typically voting blue.
Absolutely.
As opposed to voting red. And they were talking about those who are not as educated, right, with high school degree or less. They are voting red.
Yes.
Right? If I send my child to college and all I got is a high school diploma, right? And my child go and get a master's, and I sit down with my child come from their tongue house, and they come over because mommy could still cook. Right? So we having this dinner table discussion, and my child who I know is more educated than me.
Uh-huh.
And they and his peers, his or her peers, right, uh-huh. are saying, "Daddy, we ain't falling for what they're talking about on the red. Uh-huh. We going with the blue, right? Uh-huh. If I spend my money
uh-huh.
for my child to get educated, they clearly arrived at that conclusion right. based on some type of deductive analysis.
Absolutely.
So why is it that the college-educated voters are trending so much blue uh-huh. and going against red?
Well, because of education.
And that's big in Carolina.
Yes.
Research Triangle. Right. A lot of universities. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that earlier.
Yes. The Raleigh area, yeah. Raleigh-Durham area.
The UNC. They got about nine campuses.
Right. And it actually stretches out to Forsyth County, which is Winston-Salem.
Yeah.
Which is
down by the shoreline and all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Greensboro.
Yeah. Asheville, Fayetteville. The list goes on.
Yeah. Very, very liberal areas. And then go down to Charlotte.
Yeah.
The voting there, they showed that they were very strong blue voting and anti-Trump voting in the Charlotte area. Mm-hmm. Trump won Mecklenburg County, which is Charlotte, by 7 points.
Mm-hmm.
7 points.
Yeah.
You know?
As a matter of fact, he won the state last time by 1 or 2 points.
Right, right.
Yeah, in 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of people, a lot of young business people have come down to the Charlotte area. And then you have a lot of people in the Raleigh area that's college educated. I wanted to go back to what you were saying about the parents and the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you send it if you are a very poor person, you can't read and write. Let's go to the extreme example.
Mm-hmm.
You send your child to high school. They go to college, right? One would think that child would have some... You would listen to what they're saying rather than saying, well, I'm not buying that. I'm going with Fox News or OAN or whatever nonsense they hear or see on Facebook. You know, why would you disregard your educate and then actually ostracize them and calling them stuff like elites, you know? Seriously? So nobody should go to college? We should all stay dumb? Is that what they're saying here?
Or as we say,
if it's wrong to be intellectual
or to be politically correct, uneducated.
Well, there you go. But yes, you know, is this what they're actually saying, that nobody should strive to have higher education or knowledge, however you get it, that's a bad thing?
Unbelievable.
Think about it. This is what they're saying.
Basically, for the most part, you know, and Ducks, coming out of the midterm elections in 2022, I read a political article and I pull it up here. Here's what it said. Democrats control 77% of the U.S.'s most highly educated congressional districts, while Republicans control 64% of districts where the fewest people went to college. Uh-huh. Now, these ain't marginal 52, 48, 53, 47. No. Uh-huh. When you say 77%, that means three quarters.
Yes.
Right? When you say 64%, Ducks, that's almost two-thirds.
Uh-huh.
The differences here are stark, Ducks School.
The differences are stark, but... I tell you guys, Trump tapped into that. And what his famous thing is, I love the uneducated, right? And these individuals basically believe that they're not being represented by those quote-unquote educated people, right? They're not representing our interests, okay? So that is why they're voting the way they're voting. And that MAGA terminology that Trump uses is appeasing these individuals. So when a son come home from college and say, "Daddy, them thing you're looking at there is, you know, in the truth, you know, those are a bunch of lies." He said, no. That's what I believe in. And you guys who went to college, you believe I is smarter than me, right?
But check this out. But check this out. I gonna be son, and you gonna be daddy. But daddy, did you spend that money to send me to go to school? So what you telling me now? You shouldn't have spent the money.
That for you.
No. Listen, what I'm saying, right? You are talking about a very common discussion that takes place, and ain't limited to America, even down here in the Virgin Islands, right?
Yes.
Because remember, some people like to say, I believe because I went to college, I know everything, right?
Exactly.
So here's what I'm telling you, right? If a parent and a child are having a discussion, right? And you just said the parent's mentality is, I'll get a degree, so I don't know everything. And the child counter with, but daddy, did you spend that money? When I was broke, I said, daddy sent me $200 because I wanted to hang out for the month. You went to the post office and sent me that money out, so I could have gone to the post office and cash it. So what are you telling me now, daddy? And basically, what it speaks to, Ducks, right, is some of the hypocrisy that taking
exactly.
place because of raw emotion and politics.
Yeah.
That's where there's a serious educational divide in America right now, Ducks. You first and then Dwayne.
And you're absolutely correct. When I stuck in my ways, right?
Mm-hmm. That's a good terminology
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't care how much degree you get. I stuck in my ways and how I was brought up. And the America that I was brought up in, I'm seeing this guy is telling me that I am losing that America. Yeah, you're educated. You should be able to live in it. But for me, that is what I want to maintain. The hypocrisy in this thing is where Republicans... Man, I even want to call these people Republicans.
No. We're on an NPR station, so I'm asking you kindly to refer to them as such, because that's what they are. They might be extreme Republicans and MAGAs, but they're still Republicans. So go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So the Republicans have figured out, and they're the ones that coalesce around certain topics that are emotional, guys, and we know that. The economy is flourishing. Everything is going forward. But guess what? When you go to the supermarket, right? When you go to the supermarket to buy a gallon of milk that used to be, and they go back to when Trump was president, used to be $5 and now it's $10, that's what they're voting for.
Now, let me stop you right there because you bring up an excellent point and I want to bring Dwayne in here because Dwayne, during the break, you and I were talking about this. Whenever there's a war, and in this case, pandemic was a war as well because it required us to spend money we never anticipated spending via the stimulus monies and all that stuff. A recession typically follows. Right. Why? Because the government giving away free money, right? Ain't got nothing in return other than spending. So there's some taxation for the government, but that's pretty much it.
Right.
I listening to this argument where they are blaming Biden now, right? Because of the cost of living. I want to say this, and I know a lot of people are going to be shocked. The cost of living in America is not Donald Trump's fault, and it's not Joe Biden's fault. Oh. The pandemic was what it was. PPP money, stimulus money was available for everybody.
Free money.
You know what I'm saying? Free money. You know what I'm saying? And as a result of that, regardless of who won the election in 2020, those prices were going to go up.
Absolutely.
The real question, though, is... Why is it taking America so long for the masses to realize that this is not inflation, this is greedflation, where a lot of these companies are getting away with gouging?
That's exactly it. These companies are determined to recoup everything they lost during the pandemic.
And more.
Yes, yeah. Traditionally... low econ 101 is when you have a money system like the United States that's not based on a commodity like gold, is based on the full faith and trust the United States government.
Full faith and credit of the United States.
Trust and credit is the same
word. It is. No, yes. But the terminology is credit.
Though. Yes. Yeah. There. The money supply, the more money you put into it, and that's not backed by anything, eventually that supply has to come back down. That's why the Fed was buying back bonds and stuff like that.
That's correct.
To reduce the number of dollars that's floating around in the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you have a lot of dollar bills, Exhibit A, Argentina, you're going to have high inflation. That's how it works. The problem is this same capitalism, and I'm a capitalist, more Keynesian, but that these people say, oh, we don't want no socialism, and we did. This same capitalism is what's fueling this high inflation because these companies are gouging us. End of story.
Without a doubt. And Docs, I mentioned Texas and California. Why? Because they are border states, and this immigrant issue, right? With illegal immigrants, quote unquote, apparently flowing into the country and all that stuff is out of control, what have you. But Docs, when I look at the numbers, right, for the person that getting the most blame, which is Biden, I see in Texas he get 84.6% of the Democrats, and that is with Armando Perez Serrato. He's a long shot. He is on the ballot, so you know folks are going to vote Hispanic, or they're going to vote for someone. And we have a major Hispanic population in Texas. It almost is the majority now. Yes. At one point they were saying it was 52%. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the case still. And in California, he got 89.4%. And, of course, they suffer as well, coming through San Diego. They come through Arizona. They come through Texas, what have you, and New Mexico. So why right, is Biden still holding strong, Ducks, in these high 80% and some, in some instances 90%? We had 15 races yesterday. Virginia, 88.7%. North Carolina, 87.3%. Vermont, which is up north, 89.5%. Maine, 92.9%. Alabama, 89.1%. Arkansas, 88.5%. Utah, 87.5%. California, 89.4%. And Tennessee, 92.1%. A lot of Democrats who they claim are supposedly upset with Biden, and most, a lot of it because of the migrant issue, the Democrats are still loyally voting for Joe Biden. Why is that, Doc School? Is it because they're voting for Joe Biden, or they want a part of the alternative?
Well, I think that's a valid point there. The thing is,
for someone who is so unpopular and his age being a problem, these are some high percentages within the restricted race to get him onto the ballot.
It is, but you know what? And we keep talking on the show of how these are Democrats going to counter that, and that's what I keep driving home. Is what happened in the House of Representatives when a bill that came before the Congress, right, to fix the situation on the border, and Mr. Trump called the elected Speaker of the House and say, "You can't allow that to go forward because we need to use that as a mechanism."
So let me stop it right there. Are you saying that even if we ain't seeing it reflected in the polls, the people them who ain't participating in these polls know better, and we seeing their opinions in these elections based on the numbers?
That is where I'm going with this argument, that they're seeing that the Democrats and Biden them want to fix the situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the opposition wants to keep it, to use it as a political vehicle to campaign. And I believe that they are seeing that is what is happening. That's where the Democrats have to push. Remember, we talk about how they're going to get that message out.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear on its face. Here is Bill 0055 that we're going to fix this issue. And the president, the former president, is saying we don't want it. We want it to continue.
Not only
they
that.
Have to put that out there, right?
But not only that, Doc, so we're going to a break. He literally telling the Speaker of the House, don't even bring it for a vote because I know what the result going to be.
Exactly.
And the result ain't going to benefit me, so don't even think about it. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about who going to determine the winner of the elections, and that's the independents. And we're going to break that down when we come back right after this.
An American experience.
Children born today are exposed to these chemicals from birth. What is going to happen to them as a result of that exposure?
She helped launch the modern environmental movement.
She was determined that this message would get out. She's willing to endure almost everything to get that message out.
Rachel Carson on American Experience.
Tune in March 6th at 8 p.m. on WTJX-TV Channel 12.
Planes, a growing part of the climate emergency.
Aviation is going to become one of the top polluters if we don't act right now.
But could electric power change the equation?
Electric motors are within that edge of possible.
New technology,
flying taxis or cars,
could decide who wins.
We are doing something to change the world.
The great electric airplane race on Nova.
Tune in March 6th at 11 p.m. on WTJX TV Channel 12.
You know a good story when you hear it. Makes you feel, laugh, think. Sometimes you get a little teary. I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday, and each week we bring you stories from around the country and around the world. Stories that help you learn, make you smile, catch you by surprise. Please join us every Saturday for the news you need and the stories you won't forget.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Weekday mornings are a juggle, sometimes even a struggle. Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day and keeps you company through the chaos of a busy morning. Hear interviews that give you context on the day's biggest stories, along with reporting and updates on the latest breaking news. Stay on top of the world with Morning Edition every weekday.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
And we're back here on Analyze This and the greedflation term that I use, gain traction, catching fire, so we like that. So I pull up a story, right? It's from Fortune magazine, December 8th, 2023. That's less than three months ago, because today is March the 6th. They say the biggest study of greedflation yet looked at 1,300 corporations to find many of them were lying to you about inflation. They say companies like ExxonMobil, Shell, and Kraft Heinz, even Kraft Heinz, right on the shelf with a bite of mayonnaise, right, enjoyed bumper profits as consumers struggled with historic inflation. And by definition, right, for those who listen, right, greedflation occurs when the product remains the same, but the company hikes the price to generate more profits. The idea is that even though production costs haven't risen enough to justify price increases, companies carry out price increases anyway to improve their bottom lines. Which begs this question before we get to the independent. Ducks, there's a term called vigilantes, right? And vigilantes is when people, innocent people, want to take enforcement issues into their hand, right? Ducks, shouldn't these corporation heads be a little concerned that at some point, we could have an Arab Spring in America if they continue to do this to the rank and file American by charging them more for the canned beef? I know you use milk, but our thing for black people, we like to use canned beef as a barometer, right? Right? When you keep gouging out of my pocket. And I remember now, the Arab Spring started when a college educated man who couldn't get a job was selling fruit in Tunisia. And the police them were harassing him even. And he turned to them, he said, "Ah, you don't hire me. Right? Ah, you ain't hire me. I got a college education. Now I'm trying to sell fruit and you're still hiring me." And he lit himself a fire.
Yes.
Right? And that started the Arab Spring.
Emulation. Right?
So Ducks, shouldn't these corporate heads be a little bit concerned that people are catching on to what they're doing and they need to hope that vigilantism don't take place of people taking matters into their own hand? Because if I taking care of my parents and they go get medication and I got to choose between feeding my children and providing for who make me, that could create extreme frustration. And you know, when raw emotion gets the better of sound judgment, bad things happen. Doug Skoll and then Dwayne.
Neville, that's a rhetorical question you're asking me. We know we're dealing with, Dwayne was talking about capitalism and the Keynesian form of capitalism, right? What is the function of capitalism? is to make as much money as you can when you can make it. Mm-hmm. These guys are not changing, and I don't believe that the people that could point to the question are looking to the corporation. They're looking to government.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? To put policies in place to deal with the greed. With the greed. Mm-hmm. That is why they're blaming Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Because Biden is in office and he can't do anything because of Congress to make sure that these prices come down.
But the counter argument based on what you're saying is that if he can't do anything to make these prices come down, that's because the same people who are in charge of government on one side of the aisle, they are beholden to the folks who are making all this money.
Yes.
And taxing the people. When I say taxing, I mean taxing them at the store, not by the government, mm-hmm. from the government standpoint, and charging.
That is why Elon Musk would support Donald Trump, right? Mm-hmm. Because what do they do when they get in? They cut taxes for these rich people.
Mm-hmm. But my Biden argument is growing from the middle out, you know. Maybe they're sitting well. Look, we got a caller on the line. I don't want to keep the caller holding. Good morning, caller. How are you? Welcome to Analyze This.
Man, good morning, Neville. May God catch you with
the fix up. Yo, we talking economics, you know. So if you come here now to play the partial game tonight, this man ain't going to work, you know. We talking economics. How are you?
Well, me I'm fine, you know, but me I deal with economics too, you know.
Well, talk about economics then. Make an economics argument. Are we talking about inflation and greedflation?
Well, first, Neville, me hear you talking about the election earlier, you know, so me just wanted to touch everything, and me I come to economic afterwards.
Yeah.
We're not half time.
What me wanted to say is that now the fixer, now me catch the fix up on their telephone line. Me want to know how we might fix what's going to happen real soon. Because now it's an even match now. Now it's a Donald Trump and Joe Biden. We're going to relive the 2020 race.
Mm-hmm.
And it's evident to see that the Republican voters them now select Donald Trump as the next nominee. Haley is out of it. Remember a couple months back when DeSantis was in the race, the fixer, you, Neville, and a couple other people say that Ron DeSantis will give Donald Trump a big run.
Excuse me. None of us ever said that. Don't come lying. You're picking up a bad habit. You're picking up a bad habit from Donald Trump. Or no? Don't do it.
Neville will remember that. But that's no problem.
Yeah.
Now we are winning the first leg at race. We just wanted to make it emphatically clear, you know, because you see, Trump, now the race has started, you know, so now we are just warm up because it's evident to see even our CNN polls and even all the liberal news them don't say that Donald Trump is in front by the polls. We know no poll don't matter till election day, you know, but things is running on the right track. Neville, me was even in a South Carolina campaigning for Donald Trump, you know.
You?
Me was in South
Stop
Carolina.
Stop it, man.
That's why we hear from me. I could see him.
I want to thank you for some comedic relief. This man is so good. You've been in the Confederate state campaigning for Donald Trump?
I can see here Georgetown, South Carolina, knocking at people's door.
He was there for 1 week.
He'd never make it out alive.
But Neville, me want to say for real though, on a serious thing, you know,
yeah.
The election now was shape up.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. Supreme Economics. Court voted, which all of you know, that Donald Trump was legally, was right to be on the ballot, and all the illegal tactics the Democrats tried to do
mm-hmm.
to stop Donald Trump in the court.
Mm-hmm.
We win the first leg. Now we're going to see, they're going to rule that Donald Trump can't be indicted. And everything is going to follow the way it's supposed to follow, because how you could try to determine an election in a court? We not allow that to happen. We not allow that. Is the right?
They did it in Florida.
Thank you, Bush v. Gore. It was okay when Republican Bush was given the office. It was okay then.
The hanging chat.
I never said that.
I asked you, me say you said so. You never answer my questions.
The man asked you a question, you know. The Supreme Court. No. Hold on a second. One of the things we like to do is make sure the public is as educated as possible. in the aftermath of the 2000 presidential election between George W. Bush and Al Gore, there was an issue in Florida. And the Supreme Court took it up and acted within 4 days, man.
Yeah.
4 days, right? And now they're taking until the 22nd of April for oral arguments for the immunity discussion. But it's going to be good because I hope that if, in fact, you're not successful, you call me with the same speed like you don't call me when you're successful. That's all I hope for.
Well, they've been here with me, I say. They didn't support it, then I'm going to support it now. Mm-hmm. No court system shall determine the election. The people can vote. And Neville, you know, let's be real. We hear you talk about immigration. Immigration is a serious problem in America.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mash up our country.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mash up, even at the Virgin Islands, immigration, a mash up everything. You can't have open borders. Hey, Neville, me want to tell you something, you know. In a Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, them have a border. And them border, them have stopped the Haitian them from coming over the border. Them say, hey, you can't cause this influx in our community because then the resources them can't really effectuate to the people in the population. They must shut down them border for the black people in Haiti to come over. So what you're telling me, Mexico has shut down them border towards other South American country. So why them don't want American border shut down and have right immigration.
Hold on a second. I'm going to Dwayne Henry so he can answer that question. But I hope you were listening to what Doc Scholes said, that when the legislation came up, the man that you were campaigning for in South Carolina tell the Speaker of the House, don't bring the bill to the floor because they know the bill gonna pass. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask you, Russ, where do we draw the line on immigration? Who gets to come in? And when do we slam the door? It's okay. The people that are here now that immigrated, we going to send them there back? Or it's okay, they could stay, but nobody else could come? I mean, like, how does this work? You know, I'm not saying that we have to. The same people that immigrated, you know, a lot of the same people, like I said, Donald Trump's parents were German, that immigrated to the United States. Now trying to tell everybody else, no. You can't come. How come I could come and you can't come? Where do we draw the line? Who gets to stay? Who gets to come?
Let me answer that question.
Go ahead.
And I'm not glad you asked that question because that's a good one.
Go ahead, answer it.
First thing, me support immigration because immigration help build every country. So the people that were in America, me support them having a legal process, a legal pathway for citizenship. But me don't want the worst of them. Me don't want MS-16 gang bring all the drugs in America and all the pills them. Me want the worst of the worst get sent back.
You know, the Italian mafia came to Ellis Island.
If you come to America to cause problem and kill poor people and kill the senior citizen them and kill the children them, you have to get deported back to your country.
So I notice you're getting passionate. I just want you to know, right, that you're giving the public the impression that European immigrants are better than South American immigrants and immigrants from the Caribbean and immigrants from Africa. I said, be careful. You mentioned M16. You mentioned the M16. But what about the mafiosos that have come from Russia? Mm-hmm. And they come from Italy. What about them there? But you ain't mentioned them. You mentioned the M16 because you know that's a South America, Latin America based people.
Neville. Mm-hmm. Neville, stand for correction, okay?
Not a problem, but check this out. Whenever you call, the conversation I get sweet and time to fly, right? So here's the question. I want to touch on it. You got hardcore Trump supporters. You got hardcore Biden supporters. Who are the independents voting for in the 2024 presidential election?
Majority of them will vote for Donald Trump because immigration is a big problem.
I said independents. Who the independent them voting for?
Majority of the independents them will vote for Donald Trump. Me tell you that.
Okay.
The minority them will vote for Donald Trump. The Hispanic them will vote for Donald Trump. Donald Trump will win. The people them are fed up in America right now. In a New York City, them have no problem. The immigrant, them are beat up the police officer, them. And in their own country, if them do that, them get knocked off in the street.
So why 2 weeks ago, and are going to docks. Why 2 weeks ago when they had a special election in a district that a Republican won in 2022, they voted back a Democrat in February of 2024. Doc School, speak to that, if you will. Because it looked like partner believe because he emotional this morning that every demographic gonna vote for Trump. Speak to that, Doc School.
Well, I believe he is not accurate in his assessment of the independents are going to vote for Donald Trump. A lot of people voted in some of these primaries, Neville, not for Nikki Haley. They voted against Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't vote for
just like the uncommitted and the non-preference on the Democratic side.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the same thing that the caller just said is the same thing Trump said last night. So what I'm doing is listening. I just wanted to say I'm listening to an echo. I heard Trump last night say if they come over here and they beat up somebody back in their country, they would have been dead.
Ducks.
I don't have a problem.
No, but Ducks.
Don't want to bring analytical thoughts. You're talking about you're echoing the MAGA group.
Ducks, I want to ask the question in colloquial terms. You coopini? That's what you're saying? You're cooping it?
I'm cooping it because all he's doing is echoing and pirating.
Yes, sir. I glad that you said so and not me because I know basically what he just told we, right, was what Donald Trump said verbatim last night in his 20 minutes. Verbatim. That's the term. Hey, but Carla, do me a favor. When you're here, we got these kind of topics. Don't wait till the last segment to call in, right? And play that smart man move like Donald Trump, so that when you talk, that could be the last thought that the public know about. It ain't gonna work. Not on this show. Not on this show. And I want you to know that in the same South Carolina you've been in, when Dean Phillips were talking to the Democrat them. And tell them, I know a lot of you are going to vote for Joe Biden. You know what the black people in Charleston tell you? Oh, no. All of us are going to vote for Joe Biden. Okay? And that's why he get 93% in South Carolina. Or whatever, 96% I think it was in election. Hey, gentlemen, thank you very much. Carla, don't wait till the last minute, man. Thanks for calling, okay? I appreciate that. Thank you, Doc Skoll. Thank you, Dwayne Henry. Thanks to the engineers, the folks up at Mountaintop, and the listeners, and with all the text messages and all that. Be good and be safe. We'll be back tomorrow. Gabriel Carrad is going to be on tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
On American Experience, the story of three black diplomats.
The State Department had the well-deserved reputation of being extremely elitist.
Pale male in Yale.
Who broke racial barriers.
Fact of the matter was, they could never conceive that a black man could ever be an ambassador.
It is hard to do the work of America when you have been Jim Crowed by your own government.
The American Diplomat on American Experience.
Tune in March 7th at 9 p.m. on WTJX TV Channel 12.
Human beings have been making music for tens of thousands of years. It brings us together. It has the power to communicate emotions and ideas. It's a profound part of the human experience. Hear the stories behind the music you love and new music you might fall in love with. I'm Raina Duras. Join me for in-depth interviews with artists who are continuing that musical history on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.